Jack thinks he's a healer. Ever since the accident, he believes he's got the touch. He lives at the end of a cul-de-sac in Shadow Hills. A transformer looms large a few hundred feet behind his place. It puts out a faint, steady hum. It's been months since I've been to his place. The reason for the visit today is my black lab named Maggie. I knock three times, quickly, on the door, and after a pause, knock again. Jack yells from somewhere inside his house, "Come on in through the back door, by way of the garage." Inside, it is warm and cozy. A burning log crackles in the fireplace. I take off my heavy coat and hang it on a chair. The smell of sage hangs in the room. Jack is sitting at a computer in his bedroom. Opera music by Puccini is playing on the stereo. "Hey man, I'll be right with you. I just need to close something out. Coffee's brewing. Help yourself," he says. I get a big mug, fill it, and add some half and half from the fridge, an artificial sweetener, and yellow packets from a jar on the kitchen table. Maggie finds a bowl on the kitchen floor and laps up some water. She is only 5, yet her left hind leg has gone lame. 9 months ago, she favored it in a way that was hardly noticeable. At first, I thought she had stepped on something. A piece of glass, maybe, not that I could find it. Soon, she was limping, which over time only got worse. Now her leg hangs useless and withered. I sip some coffee and look at pictures on a living room wall of his boys, Jesse, Jordan, and Jake, mugging for the camera. I always thought Jack looked a bit like Michael Caine. Jack claims to have the touch. And today he will lay his hands on Maggie. He swears his dog Stella had a similar problem, and he cured her. He is convinced his newfound power came to him after he broke his neck 10 months earlier. It happened on the eve of his 20th wedding anniversary. He and his wife JK had gotten into a spat during dinner at a fancy restaurant. Jack took the car, leaving JK to catch a cab. Less than a mile away, he smashed into a telephone pole, nearly killing himself. Jack moves a little stiffly now. When he turns to look at me, he turns his whole upper body rather than just his head and winces. His hair falls on his forehead to hide indentations left when the screws attaching the halo brace to his skull were removed. Maggie is pacing, making excited whimpers and grunts. She seems happy to be around someone else, and Jack tells her to calm down. "See her circling like that? Do you know why she's doing that? All dogs circle before they lie down. Do you know why?" he asks. "It's instinctual," he says. "They're looking for snakes. It's genetic programming, and she doesn't even know why she's doing it. They're making sure none are around before they lie down. They've got layers and layers of habituation that become who they are until they've forgotten the how and the why. Good old nature, huh?" I have no idea if he's making it up, or if he read it somewhere, or if he just figured it out on his own, but it makes sense to me. Jack slaps his palms together and starts rubbing them quickly against each other, creating friction. After a minute or so, he then places his hands on both sides of Maggie's hind leg. I silently pray for a miracle. So far this year, she's endured blood tests, x-rays, bone scans, chiropractic adjustments, acupuncture, psychic readings, and a long list of homeopathic medicine. Jack massages her leg and says it feels hot, and again says how much he'd like her to get better. The ever-present drone of the transformer out back is almost soothing. I wonder if whatever Jack had is spent. I hope it's not. and I hang on with all I've got to a thread of hope that he has something, anything, left in his hands.